Good morning. It's a joy to address you today in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're talking about Jesus today from Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 21. This is the story of where Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi. These were a series of villages about 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, not far from Mount Hermon. And as Jesus came to this area, he asked this very important question, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, Caesarea Philippi was named after Caesar and after Philip. Caesar was the great emperor of Rome, and Philip was a local king. So Caesarea Philippi was a place of worship. The Greeks had worshiped there. There were temples. There were niches carved into the walls of the rock ledge. There were shrines there. And the Romans had worshiped their gods there too. There was a temple there to Caesar to be worshiped as God. And so in this area that was an area of filled with history of worship and of gods, Jesus comes. And as he surveys and sees all this, he asks them, "Well, who do men say that I am? Am I just one of these?" And they said, "Well, there's rumors going around that you're John the Baptist raised from the dead," because, you know, Herod had John beheaded. "And others say, well, you're Jeremiah, the weeping prophet who wept over Jerusalem. Or you're Isaiah or Elijah, or one of the prophets." But Jesus asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" People today are saying still a lot of different things about Jesus. If you were to go to google.com and type in the name Jesus, you would get over 181 million hits. If you were to go to amazon.com and type in the name Jesus, you would find that there are over 261,474 books and more, and counting almost every week, about Jesus. Well, who is this Jesus? He lived and died nearly 2,000 years ago. And we're still talking about him. And people are still asking that question, who is Jesus? At Christmas and Easter, the national magazines feature front page stories about Jesus. People are still asking the question, who is Jesus? And does he affect my life today? C.S. Lewis is one of the greatest defenders of the Christian faith. And he said that we really have a trilemma when it comes to Jesus. Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Who is Jesus? Now, most people today, if you ask that question, who is Jesus? Is he a liar? They say, well, absolutely not. Well, he's not a deceiver. He taught the greatest truths that man has ever known. He's influenced history more than any person who's ever walked on the earth. He taught good, righteous, and noble, loving concepts. No, he's not a liar. Well, Lewis asked then, is he a lunatic? Is he crazy? Does he belong in a mental hospital? You know, he said he was the Son of God. He said that he came to save the world. He said he's going to come again and judge the world. He said he can forgive our sins. He said he came from the Father and he's returning to the Father. He said he's going to be seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly world. Is he a lunatic? And most people say, no, he's not a lunatic. Well, then is he Lord? And many will say, well, no, he's not Lord. Well, which one is he? If he's not Lord, then he's either a liar or a lunatic. You see, a liar would not deceive people. A good teacher would not be a liar, that is. And is he a lunatic? Does he sound like someone who's crazy? No. But then who is he? The only answer that we can give is he's Lord. Oh, but well, he was a good teacher. Well, do good teachers tell lies? Do good teachers deceive people? Well, he was a good man. Well, was he a good man? Do good men deceive people about who he is and what he's going to do? And if he is, he's the greatest deceiver that ever lived on the face of the earth, because more people have followed him than any other human being or person who's ever walked on the earth. Is he Lord? That's the only answer that we can give when we read all the facts and all the evidence. I've been reading a book recently called More Than a Carpenter by Josh and Sean McDowell. It's an excellent book, and it discusses the questions of who is Jesus. And it quotes Lewis's article, Is He Lord, Liar, or Lunatic? And give reasons to believe he's Lord. And you can order this book today from christianbook.com or amazon.com, More Than a Carpenter, Josh and Sean McDowell. Or you can do like I have done. I ordered 30 copies for $63, about $2 a copy. I even thought about ordering 120 copies for $218. And you get them at that discount price from josh.org. Josh.org. You can order the books at that price. And I recommend ordering a book for everyone and passing them out to everybody that you want to talk to Jesus about or that's interested in studying who is Jesus, because it goes into all the details about Jesus and the Gospels and why we can trust him and was he really raised from the dead? And well, what about science and what about history? It's a very interesting book. I highly recommend it. Who is Jesus? And then Jesus asked the question, Well, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And here at Caesarea Philippi, where all of these gods were worshiped, gods engraved in metal and stone and wood that were non-rational, that could not speak, could not hear, could not listen, could not love. Peter said, You're the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one true and living God. All others are false gods. And you are the Son of the living God. Notice the emphasis on the definite, the Son of God. Simply means that he has all of the qualities and the attributes of God himself. Jesus said one time, He that has seen me has seen the Father, for I and the Father are one. And the word one there in the Greek text is the neuter, not the masculine. The masculine would mean we're the same person, but we are one. Neuter means we are one in essence or nature. Jesus is of the very nature and essence of God. The Bible says in the first chapter of Hebrews that he is the very image of God and he is the brightness and the glory of God himself. Remember John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen him and beheld his glory. He is God incarnate, that is God in the flesh. And why did the people of the first century world, the Jewish leaders and authorities, want to get rid of this Jesus? It was not because of his teachings. It was because of his claims about himself, who he said he was. In John chapter 5, The Bible says that he had healed a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. And Jesus said, I am doing the works of my Father. For the Father works until now, and I am working too. And the Jews said, well, you're claiming to be equal with God. And the Bible says they took conspiracy among themselves to put him to death because he had blasphemed God. You see, any person who claims to be God in the flesh is blaspheming unless it's true. And so they were accusing Jesus of blasphemy. In John, the 10th chapter, the same thing is true. Right after Jesus said, I and the Father are one, the Bible says, he's guilty of blasphemy. He's making himself equal with God. And then we go to the trial of Jesus. Mark, the 14th chapter, where Caiaphas, the high priest, was interviewing Jesus. And the Bible says there that in this interview, that Caiaphas said, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. And the high priest said, what further witness do we need? You have heard this blasphemy. And they all condemned him as deserving of death. Why? Because of who he said he was. Now, what did Jesus mean? Look at those words. You will see the Son of Man. That's number one. Seated at the right hand of power. Number two. Coming with the clouds of heaven. This language goes back to the Old Testament book of Daniel. Written some 600 years or so before Jesus came to earth. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 beginning, Daniel says he had a vision. And he says that, behold, I saw in the night visions. Behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. He came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Notice, one like unto the Son of Man, coming on the clouds of heaven. And there was presented him a kingdom. Jesus said, you will see the Son of Man, same language, seated at the right hand of power, that is, all those thrones, dominions, and kingdoms subject to him, and coming with the clouds of heaven. Jesus claims to be the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. Now, who can come on the clouds of heaven except the divine? And who can sit at the right hand of power, that is, God, except the Son of God, one who came from God the Father and who is of the same essence or being as God the Father? Remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. He is God incarnate. So who is this Jesus? Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus made that claim for himself here. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Now, he used the expression to describe himself, the Son of Man, not referring to his humanity, but referring to him being the anointed one of Daniel's prophecy. And Jesus' favorite word for himself is Son of Man. He is the one who came from God the Father and was going to return to God the Father. Now, when Peter said, you're the Christ, he meant you're the anointed one of God. That's the same as the word Messiah. You are the Christ. So Jesus is the Christ. Jesus, a human name that means Savior. And other people in the Bible are named Jesus. It's a common name, same as Joshua, the Old Testament. But he's the Christ. His name is not then Jesus Christ, it's Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. Now, what did Jesus do when Peter said that? Did Jesus correct him and say, oh no, Peter, you're wrong about that. That's not true. You're putting me on too high a level. You need to bring me down a notch or two. No. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus accepts Peter's accolade. He says, that's right. And you didn't learn it from reading books or from listening to the majority opinions or from what other people say. It was revealed to you. It was given to you by God Himself that you're right. So Jesus fully accepted what Peter said. So who is the real Jesus? The Son of God. And then Jesus said to Peter and to the others, after they said, who are you? After he said, who are you? And Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to them, that I say unto you that you are Peter. Now the Greek word there is Petros, a detached stone. And upon this Petra, Petros is masculine, Petra is feminine. Petra meaning a large foundation, a large piece of rock. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. What Jesus means is that you're Peter. Your name means rock. But upon this Petra, upon this foundation that you have confessed, this confession that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. Now, some people think the church is built upon Peter. And Peter was the leader of the disciples. His name is always first in the list of the disciples. And he is the one that opened the door of faith to the Jews in Acts 2 when 3,000 were added to their number after the first preaching of the gospel. And he's the one that God used to bring the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10 into the kingdom through the preaching of the gospel and their baptism into Christ. And Peter is the leading spokesman for the church in the first 15 chapters of the book of Acts. So God did work through Simon Peter, and he was a rock in the sense he was out there preaching and teaching Jesus. Peter was not infallible. He was not to have successors after him who would rule the church for the next 1900 years. No. In verse 23 of this same chapter, after Jesus said he would be crucified and resurrected, Peter said, oh no, Lord, that'll never happen to you. So Peter had doubts. He didn't understand the full message. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're talking about. And Peter cursed and denied Jesus, as you know, at the crucifixion. But Jesus restored him to ministry in John chapter 21. And Peter was used by God. But Peter was later even rebuked by Paul the Apostle in Galatians, the second chapter, because Peter's ideas were faulty. You know, it wasn't until 500 years ago that the Roman church said that the Pope spoke infallible and was a direct descendant of Peter. No, the apostles had no successors. How do you have a successor to an eyewitness? You can't. And the Bible says that when the apostle James died in Acts, the 12th chapter, they didn't appoint a successor to him. And so when Peter died, there was no successors appointed. And he was a human being who took strong leadership, and God did build his church through the preaching of Peter and the other apostles. Because Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. And he gave that same authority to all the apostles in Acts the 18th chapter, verses 16 to 18. So Peter is a good man, but the foundation on which the church is built is Jesus Christ. The Bible says Christ Jesus is the chief cornerstone of the foundation, 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. And the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Ephesians 2:20, meaning the message the apostles and prophets preached. The Bible says their names are written in the foundations of heaven, Revelation 21, verse 14. The 12 apostles, all of them, not just Peter. But these men were in charge and entrusted with preaching the gospel and telling the good news of Jesus. And as he said in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me, and you go and preach and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus said, you are blessed, Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. The church is built on Jesus. And the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Now Jesus immediately in the next verse spoke about his death and his resurrection. The gates of Hades are the gates of death. Every city had gates to protect it for security. And the gates of death, of Sheol, as it's called in the Old Testament, would not stop the building of the church because Jesus would die, yes, but he would be resurrected. The gates of death would not hold him in the grave. And he would come forth triumphant and glorified, Lord of heaven and earth. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, he was dead, but is alive forevermore. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is Lord, is the great confession of the church. Jesus is Lord. The gates of hell or Hades, the unseen world, would not prevent the building of the church. And the church is called the Church of Christ, the Church of God, the church, 110 times in the Bible. It's only used twice in the Gospels, and both of it's by Matthew here and in chapter 18. But it's used many times in the book of Acts and in the letters the apostles wrote to the churches. The church is simply the people of the kingdom. And who is in the church? Well, when the apostles preached in Acts chapter 2, the first time in the history of the world, the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It was the people who heard the story of Jesus and believed it and said, what shall we do? And they were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. And you'll receive the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. That's the beginning of the church, the first church there in Jerusalem. Within 50 days of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his going back to the heavenly world. 40 days later, 40 days he appeared to them. And then 10 days later, the day of Pentecost came. That's the church. And today, you want to be in God's church? I will build my church, the church that Jesus built, his church, his people, the people of his kingdom. Then you do what they did, what the apostles taught. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You turn from your sins and you be baptized in his name. And God says you'll be in his church. So who do you say Christ is? That's the greatest question of the universe. Jesus is the great divider. You can mention God. Many people believe in God, but you mention Jesus. That makes God specific. Jesus puts a face on God. Jesus is the unique Son of God. And when you confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you should be baptized in the name of Christ, and God will give you the remission of sins and His Holy Spirit. So who is Jesus? What you say to that question determines your life now and your life in the world to come. God bless you. I pray that you will serve and follow Jesus the Christ.